If you're physically able to stand in honor of the Word of God, God bless you for that. But Psalm 91, this is a very popular, very well-loved passage. We're going to read that first verse out of Psalms chapter 91 that says this. This would include she. The Bible speaks in terms of mankind. He that dwelleth, that means you live there, in the secret place of the Most High. It's talking about the Lord, describing him as being a refuge, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Many blessings under the shadow of the Almighty. And today, just for a little bit, I'd like to speak on this subject title, Secret Refugees. Secret Refugees. I wonder if you'd help me today in praying that God will help us. God, would you help us today? We need you. I pray that you will touch these lips of clay. Let your anointing flow. Let your will be done today. Oh, God, we must hear from you. We are a needy people. We cannot even walk without you, and we're trusting you today to speak to our hearts from your heart. I pray that you will do it today, and we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you may be seated. In Psalms chapter 1, it's the very first psalm, if I could put it that way, or I guess you would say like the division, if you will, of the chapters to come. Psalms, if you are not familiar with the Bible, if you have never read the Bible through, or if you have never had a steady daily Bible reading, I would recommend that within your daily Bible reading that you start out reading the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. Psalms is a book that is a very poetic book. We see so much in this that is beautiful. It rings in our heart as being expressions that are beautiful, and we find a lot to learn from in the Psalms. When we look at Psalms chapter 1, I want to take these six verses in this chapter, and I'm going to just speak a few moments about them. I want to read the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Isn't that something, how one little word changes things? In the counsel of the ungodly, or the unrighteous, or the wicked. And notice, the psalmist doesn't start out saying, blessed is the man that is not ungodly. He didn't say that. There's places for that. And he didn't immediately say that blessed is the man that is wicked, or that is not wicked and is not unright. He didn't say that. He said, the psalmist started out the very first song, or the very first song or psalm in this book of Psalms, he immediately says that the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly is blessed. You know, we could go on and on talking about the counsel of the ungodly, but I will tell you this to start with. Just because CNN, ABC, NBC, any of the others, just because they publish an article and the editor of the site and the contributing columnists and all of these are highly educated with 9 letters after their name and they break it down so good, doesn't mean that it is good advice or good counsel for us to learn from. Just because we find something on the internet that is a how-to article speaks of how to live in peace, and you Google it, you look it up, you find some articles, and you see that there are many things that you can how to live in peace, and amongst those is practicing some of the Eastern religious meditations and reciting certain things and taking certain substances which would calm you. You know, all of this that we, just because it's in a very reputable article doesn't mean that it's good advice. You have to ask yourself, who is the one saying that it's reputable? If you go to a doctor and the doctor says, yep, looks pretty bad. Yep, looks pretty bad. Yep. In fact, you know what? That little ache in your foot, it's gangrene. We're going to have to cut your leg off up at the knee. Can you be here tomorrow and we'll start on it? Well, if you just swallow that and go back and cut your leg off and come to find out, all it was is you had a little sprain in your foot. You'd kind of wish that you hadn't followed the advice of that doctor. And somebody says, well, yeah, but that doctor is highly acclaimed. Well, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, he's highly esteemed. He has a lot of good ratings. Really? So is it? Are you telling me that doctor that cut my leg off, that he's like well known and that everybody respects him in the industry? Oh, no, not in the industry. He's got 5-star rating on Google reviews. Well, now all of a sudden, you might have a little bit of concern that you listened to the advice of somebody that claimed to be respectable, but all it was all of his friends and family that's getting on Google and leaving good reviews for him, and he doesn't know anything about a sprain. He thinks that if you have a pain in your foot, you cut off your leg. That's his advice. We've got to make sure that we realize that everything that professes to be good counsel and good advice is not always good for us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the advice and counsel and suggestions of the ungodly or the unrighteous or the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What are you doing this week, Joe? Oh, I'm going to party. You want to go? Well, yeah, we had a birthday party last week, and we had some cake and ice cream for my little niece, and I love that party. And then we also, sometime back, my brother-in-law's daughter graduated, and we had a big graduation party. I love parties. You're telling me there's a party Friday night? Count me in. I'm going to the party. And you get there and find out it's nothing but drugs and alcohol and wild relational dealings that should not happen. And yet, you thought it was okay because the guy that invited you was, you know, you thought he was okay. Everybody said he was okay. Do you know his life? Does he love God? Does he care about the things of the kingdom of God? Or is he only interested in the lustful pleasures that will take you straight to a devil's burning hell? Who is this guy that invited me to a party? Do I know anything about him? Did I bother to ask questions and find out what kind of a party it is? Blessed is man that does not stand in the way of sinners nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, here's the good part. But the man that doesn't do those things, his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? This is. Somebody said, well, I don't like laws. Well, then I'll tell you what. The next time that somebody comes and breaks in your house, don't bother calling the police, because after all, if you don't like laws, what you need to do is put a welcome sign on the front, leave the door open, and say, come on in, everything's yours. No, we have to have laws in our life. Laws are not a bad thing. Laws are, they could be a bad thing if they're bad laws, but laws of civilization are laws that keep us in line. I promise you. When I'm driving down the street and I'm going along and there's like, you know, one lane going my way and there's one lane going the opposite way and there's a little yellow dotted line or a white yellow dotted line right in the middle. Whenever I'm driving on my side of the road and I'm doing about 45 miles an hour, and the cars that are coming on the other side of the road against me are doing about 45 miles an hour, I'm really glad that there's a law that says you need to stay on the right side of the road. Because if there was no law, that person driving on the other side could just pick any lane they want if there's no law. So laws are a good thing. Laws are fences. Laws are boundaries. Laws are things that keep us in check. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His, God's law, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You ever been down by the river and saw a tree? And you go, oh, wow, look at that tree. I had a tree in my yard, and the storm comes through and takes that tree and just blows it right over. It's all dried out and dead, and the storm blows the tree over, and it comes right up. But I go down to the river, and I see a tree, and it's full of green, and it's got fruit on it, and the river's running right there and watering it. You try to pull that tree out and see how easy it is. It's not easy at all. Why? Because it's planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And how they would take wheat in the days is they would take and they would throw it up in the air, and the grain would fall down, and the chaff, all the stuff that you don't want in your recipe, all the chaff would, the wind, because it was lighter, it would blow it away. And you do it again, and you keep doing that until pretty soon all you had was the heavier grain that would fall, and the chaff is all blown away. That's how the wicked and the ungodly are. It's like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, Proverbs 13 and 15 says this, good understanding giveth favor, but the way or the life or the path of transgressors is hard. You know, have you ever had children that when they're young and you're going to go to the store and they keep wandering off, you know, they keep wandering off and you tell them, don't wander off. You're going to either get kidnapped or hurt. But they keep getting into everything and wandering off, and you try to tell them and they don't listen, but they keep, and pretty soon, sure enough, all of a sudden you hear us, and you run around there and see what's happening. And they got over there and they got to playing with stuff on a shelf, pulled the whole shelf down on top of them, and now they're all cut up and bruised. And they're crying, saying, oh, I'm so hurt. And you look at them and you wonder, why do you always have to do things the hard way? Why can't you just listen? I told you to stay with me, and if you had stayed with me, you would not have gotten hurt. But you didn't listen. You just had to go do it your way. We look at that, and we say, why is my child always having to learn the hard way instead of just listening to me as a parent? The Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. It's well known, well documented, that in the wild, wild west, earlier days of our nation, that the men who were always on the dodge, always outlaws, robbing banks and then having to speed away on horses and get up to the hills and mountains and hide in caves and always be looking over their shoulder, and they can't just freely come to a town and go shopping and having a dinner in the town because people will spot them and they'll recognize them and know, so they have to hide out in the hills, and they've got all this gold in their hands, but they can't spend it. It's well documented that there's been many, many, many of them that died very lonely and unhappy. And if they would have just done what they're supposed to do, get a job, live within the boundaries of society. But you see, the way of an outlaw is hard. But the way of a law-abiding citizen is not hard. Oh, so the law-abiding citizen is going to have a life of roses. No, 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 no. The law-abiding citizen is going to have a lot of problems in life as well. What's the difference? They're not dealing with all of the extra stuff that the outlaw has to deal with. You go down the street and you get your hat pulled down low and you hope that nobody recognizes you, but you just want to go in and have a nice meal, and you sit in the restaurant in the corner, kind of not facing everybody, and then you're there and you're almost done with your food, and then all of a sudden the door slams and you jump and look back and you're wondering who came in. You look at them and you think, do they know me? Do they know me? They look familiar. Oh, I hope they don't know me. Oh, and it ruins your meal. Why? Because you've got skeletons in your closet. You're being chased by the ghosts of unrighteousness. The way of transgressors is hard. The dying words of James Tracy, a man executed for murder in Chicago, was this. He said, I do not believe any man who has known a life of virtue can ever be contented with a life of vice. The farmer who has spent his life on his farm, never seen more of the world than the road to market, or more of society than the village congregation, is happier than the sporting man or the gambler who gets his money easily but questionably and sees society in its wildest dissipation. I hope that my fate, Mr. Tracy said, may prove a warning to young men who are cheating themselves with the idea that there can be any peace, happiness, or prosperity in a crooked life. The words of a dying man who had done it his way, who had walked the way he wanted to walk, a crooked path. And at the end, he's saying, I'm full of regret. Psalm 91. We read that first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, life's got a lot of hardships. Life's got a lot of struggles and problems. Some of those struggles and problems we can't do anything about. If you're born into a very, 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 very poor family, and that family is not easily able to get out of poverty, then the family and you, if you are a child, are going to grow up in those circumstances, and you're not going to be able to enjoy the finer things that maybe some of the other children at school enjoy because your family is poor. You can't control that. You can't, it's not something you signed up for. But that is something that when you go through that kind of a hardship and you grow up in poor conditions, if you keep your mind straight, if you keep your heart straight, and you do it the right way, when you get to the other end of the difficulties of being poor, times you might be hungry, times that your shoes have holes in them and you're putting cardboard in the soles just to go to school, when you get through hard times, it does something to you that makes you a stronger person. And it gives you something inside that you now have the strength and the grit to get through other problems in life even better. And yet there are other situations, hardships in life, that we can control. If I'm in the wild, wild west, and I go rob a bank with three other guys, all of a sudden we hear a door slam and hear people coming, and we rush out the back door with the piles of gold, we jump on our horses and we get away, and we get to the mountains, and we're up there. But on the way out of town, somebody shot and put a bullet right through our leg. And we get to where we're going, and we get off, and we're in there, and we're bandaging it up in our hidden cave, and we're hiding out, and we're wishing that we're wishing that we had not got shot. But as the days go by, it gets infected, and it gets worse and worse. And it's obvious that you're going to need to see a doctor. But you can't go see a doctor because you are in a difficult situation. Your leg's getting worse, but if you go in to see the doctor, that after the doctor's done, you're going straight to the jail. But instead, you're caught in a difficult situation. But this situation is not like the young person that grew up in a poor family and couldn't control it and went through it and it made them a better person. Your difficult situation, the reason you're in that is because of poor choices. You chose the life of the outlaw. You chose to go that way. And now you are in a difficult situation, and it's because of what you chose. You see, there's some things in life that we cannot control. Life is going to happen to you. It's just going to happen. And it rains on the just and the unjust. It's just the way it is. And so you and I have two choices every day. When we come to a fork in the road and we have good and evil, it's our choice what we're going to choose. But this old world that we live in is evil. It's ungodly. This current day that we live in, there's so much technology that'll make it easy for you just to click on something, which will take you farther, and then you click on something else, and it'll take you farther. Click on something else, and in the matter of just a few clicks, you can be heavily involved and engaged in pornography. Easy with these devices that we carry around and the thing called the internet that we're connected to. This old world has so made it so convenient to live ungodly, but not just convenient if you woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I want to live ungodly. Well, it's pretty easy for you to do. You don't have to look very far. But what about when you don't want to be ungodly? What happens when you want to do right? What happens when you want to walk on the straight and narrow? What happens when you really, really, really don't want to go the bad way and the wrong way? And if you've ever been there, you don't want to go back. What if that's you? What if you're saying, no, I want to live right. I want to be right. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to get mixed up and messed up and my life a shambles. I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. If that's you, this world, just like it's very easy, easier than ever, technology available, easier than ever for somebody who desires to go down the wrong path, it's easier than ever for them to go down the wrong path. It's also, in some ways, harder than ever for somebody who wants to go the right way to stay on the right path, because there's so much technology tempting and pulling them away. And so now suddenly you've got somebody who, they want to live right. They want to live for God. They want to do right. They don't want to go down the wrong path. They want to say no to evil, but they're struggling because continually it's like in their face, constantly, the opportunities to go astray. We live in a difficult world. And you ask yourself, what can I do? I want to live right. How do I escape this peer pressure and societal pressure and how do I get out of all of this pressure to go the wrong way? I want to do the right way. So what I want to talk for just a few more moments about Psalm 91. He, and I'm just going to throw in a few extra of my words in here if I could. He that makes a decision that he wants to live for God, he doesn't want to go down the wrong path, he wants to do right, And he's just dealing with the difficulties of life and temptation. He that dwelleth, he that chooses to go and stay in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, if we're going to go to the secret place, the writer describes here the secret place of the Most High. This isn't like the Masons, Freemasons. This isn't like Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club, where you've got to, you know, go and figure out how to get in, and it's not easy. No. Jesus has made this thing available to everyone. So why is it not on every billboard everywhere, given directions on how to get to this secret place? Why are so few people in the secret place? It's because it is a secret place when you compare it with the very accessible, visible places of this world. If I'm going to get to the secret place of the Most High, I can't just take any old path and get there. If I take this path over here, and if I want to go to the dance hall, I can go this road and go to that dance hall, or I could turn and go this way to another dance hall, or I could go back this other way and go to a dance hall. But if you're going to go to the secret place of the Most High, the first thing you're going to have to do is make up your mind that that's where you're going. You can't just live life bouncing around like a ship on the waves saying, well, I hope I get there someday to heaven. I really hope I make it. No. If you're going to get to the secret place, what is a secret place? It's a place of escape. It's a place that gets you away from this old world. It is a place of refuge, a place of safety from the evil influences of this world. And the secret place, if you're going to get there, the first thing you have to do is you have to make up your mind that that's where you're going. And when you make up your mind you're going to the secret place, the path that leads to the secret place does not swing by the dance hall and the gambling casino and the local bar and the local strip joint. That path going to the secret place doesn't meander and wind through all of those things to let you enjoy them while you're on your way to the secret place. If you're going to go to the secret place of the Most High, it is a place of refuge. It is a place of safety elevated above the other things of the world, and you're going to have to climb to get there. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I'm gonna say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. You can't just hide this thing and just kind of, you can't just drift through life and think that you're going to get to a place of refuge in God. It's not going to happen. I was reading stories recently of those who had escaped the war in Ukraine and had escaped getting out of town. One person said that she went to bed one night, and her family, when they went to bed, they assumed that the next morning they was going to get up, eat breakfast, everything was going to be usual. But about 4 a.m., they awoke to the sounds of explosions, and they realized very quickly that the war was on. And suddenly now, everything changed. Everything was different. she ran down trying to get some food, and there were long lines. And within, in fact, the bread went quickly, and in no time at all, the stores had run out of food. Run to the bank for cash, and the ATMs, long lines. Everybody's in a panic, trying to get food, trying to get money, trying to get stocked up and prepared for this. She said that suddenly now, life in her city was changed immediately. Normally, it's a busy area, very fun place with lots to do. But instead, now there's just military vehicles passing around. There's missiles coming in. There's bombings going on. She was able to escape and get out of that country, the country that she had known. And she escaped with nothing more than a backpack. And she had to go with no home. She had to find a place. And so she went to a place of refuge, a place that was established as a refuge center for those who were in the war zone, if you will, a place that they could get away. But one thing that I read that I thought was very, very interesting is that once she got there, everything was good. She was safe. But the road to get to the refuge center was very, very dangerous. And the reason is because for her to get to the refuge center, she had to join with other refugees who decided and made up their mind that they're going to go to the same place as her. They're getting away from the war that they've been involved in. They're leaving their old life behind, and they couldn't take it with them. They had nothing more than the essentials to live, and now they are all headed to this refuge center. And what was interesting was that in order to get there, they had to be led, and they were led there by a convoy of cars, UN convoy of cars, and they had a flag raised. And this flag would symbolize to everybody around them that we were all refugees and were headed to a place of refuge. And so therefore, don't harm us. But the problem is, she said, there's no guarantee in that, because even though you're under the banner, the flag of this UN convoy, there was no guarantee that they would not be persecuted, if I could put it that way, or harmed. But as they went, and as long as she stayed with this convoy, they made it through safely. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? You and I, we live life. Life gets ugly sometimes. Life gets out of control sometimes. And we end up in situations, either those that we couldn't help or those that we could help. And there comes a time when we say, I don't want this. I need a place of refuge. But the journey to get to the secret place of the Most High is not a bed of roses. You're going to be going down this road, and the people standing around you that you used to know, used to be your friends, are not happy with you because you're leaving them. You see other people that are trying to take you out because they don't want you to get to a place of safety. But when you and I determine in our heart that I'm making a change, I'm going to spend time with God in prayer. I'm going to spend time reading His Bible, His Word. I'm going to spend time going to church. I'm going to spend time pushing the plate away. I'm going to do things that are now going to keep me safe. When we finally get to that place of refuge, we can be like the psalmist that said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Does that mean that life won't still? Oh, there's still storms up in the mountain. There's still storms in the place of refuge, a secret place. There's still storms around. What's the difference? You're in a place of refuge. You still might get some cold. You might still get some rain. You might get some things that push you around a little bit, but you're in the secret place of the Most High, and nothing can happen to you to take you out of His shelter. You see, when we see the three Hebrew children and they were thrown in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, we find that when the king looked in there and saw the three Hebrew children in there, he didn't see this fourth being in there pulling them out of the fire. He saw the fourth being in there walking through the fire with them. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You're in that secret place of the Most High. There shall no evil befall thee. In other words, the devil can't come and get you. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, God says, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high or in a place of safety because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That sounds like a place I want to be. That sounds like a place that would keep me protected from falling into the lust of this world. That sounds like a place that would keep me strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That seems like a place that would be preparing me for the great bride of Christ coming, going up to meet with the Lord. It looks to me like it would be a great place to get prepared to meet the Lord. So why isn't everybody there? Why is it such a secret place? Is it because the Lord doesn't want people to know about it? No. Here's what Jesus said as I get ready to close in Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," whosoever believeth in him, that means anyone that chooses to, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is calling the sinner, and he's calling the saint. He's calling the sinner to come out from the world. He's calling the saint to get away from the world even farther. Both, he's calling, saying, "I've got a secret place. I wish it weren't a secret place. I wish that it were a place that the whole world knows." As it were, Jesus would be saying, "But you see, people aren't interested in finding the secret place because all around them are lures and distractions that dim their vision and cause them not to see the path to the secret place. So wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting." You see, if you're going to get to the secret place, when you get there, you're going to find that there's not the masses and multitudes like there are in the sinful holes and dens of this old world, but you're going to find that there's going to be an army of people that are there that have all made up their mind that they don't want any more of this old world, and they are now going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, in the fortress, in the rock, in the refuge. And when you get there, suddenly now, you can't hang out with all your old friends and still abide in the refuge. You can't go and participate in all of the things that life offered before and still stay in this secret refuge. If you're going to get into the refuge, you're going to have to give up the old life. And when you're there, you're now going to be a secret refugee. You're going to be somebody that is apart from the world. Oh, you're in the world. You still got to live. We still are in the world. We have acquaintances and people that we know and family that we still love. But you're in the world, but not of the world. And therefore, you don't love the things of the world, but you love the things of God. Now, instead of going to a party on a Friday night, you're going to the church to pray. Now, instead of going out to the lake on Sunday, out on the boat and go skiing, when it's church time, you're in the house of God. You're worshiping, you're sacrificing this old flesh on the altar. It's a different life. It's a secret life of refuge as we all stand. I wonder today, is God calling somebody into this place of refuge of the sound of my voice? Is there somebody that God's saying, if you'll just leave those other paths alone, and if you'll come up this path to the secret refuge, if you'll set your love upon me, I'll deliver you. I'll lift you up into a place of protection on high, because you've known my name, my ways, and everything about me. You'll call upon me and I'll answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. When the storm hits the top of the mountain and it rumbles and roars and the wind blows fiercely, I will deliver you. I'll honor you. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, for a few moments, I would just like us to take some time as they sing. I wish that we could just take a few moments and just ask ourselves, where am I dwelling? Is my life nothing but chaos? Is my life craziness? Is my life full of disappointments and heartaches and hardships? And many of those problems that I get myself into, I wish I hadn't. It was a poor choice. It was a smile here that I chased. It was an opportunity to make a little bit extra money here. And somebody said it'd be really easy. And come to find out, it's not an honorable way to make money. I wish I could get out. I don't want to work at this club anymore. I don't want to hang out with these people at the party. But I feel like just I'm in a whirlwind and I can't get out. If that's you, I'm going to ask you right now to spend some time talking to God, telling him you want out, and tell him, say, Lord, if you'll show me the way to the secret place, I'll go. The first thing we've got to do is make up our mind to leave the war zone and go find the secret place.
surpasses all.